Looking at the vitamin supplement industry, it attains a revenue of $1.5 billion every year in Australia. Why are Australians so obsessed?
I think the issue is that deep down, we're a little bit worried whether our eating habits might be up to scratch, or we're pretty sure they're not. And so people reach for supplements as a bit of a stopgap, bit of an insurance policy. And about 30% of Australians in the last National Nutrition Survey were taking something out of that category.
How much of a concern, though, is it that these vitamin supplements don't have that large of a benefit?
Well, I think it's a major concern, really. And just this week, a major study, it included 179 randomized control trials, so intervention studies, looked at whether or not vitamin supplements work for preventing or stopping a second heart attack or stroke. And there's some pretty scary results in that massive, massive study.
Is this the first study of its kind to actually conclude the lack of effectiveness of vitamin supplements?
No, it's not. But what's interesting is that it's published in a prestigious journal called the American Journal of Cardiology. And in fact, it's actually an update of a statement made from the USA Preventive Services Task Force, which essentially was looking at whether these vitamin and mineral supplements work for heart health. But they've been able to pool the results in some quite stark graphics and summarise whether the common ones worked or not. So the most commonly taken supplements, or tested supplements across these studies, was a general multivitamin, vitamin D, calcium, and vitamin C. And what they showed was that none of these supplements had any effect in the group who got the active supplement versus the group who got the dummy pills. There was no effect on heart disease or stroke. And because you have to monitor the safety and just make sure, hey, these things aren't doing any harm, they always look at how many people die in each group as they follow up the people. And there was no difference on mortality. So what they kind of concluded is that, you know, they're not doing any benefit and they're not giving any harm. So essentially they're a waste of money.
Just on that that mention of doing any harm, I understand the study also found that vitamin B3 and certain antioxidants were actually associated with negative effects on one's health.
That's right.
Would you mind explaining that?
Homework, because the most studied groups were multivitamins, vitamin D, calcium, and vitamin C, and they'd been studied in a lot of trials. So what they did then, they went, oh, there's no effect to the most common ones. They drilled down, sifted through 179 studies, and there were 39 researchers across 12 research institutes working on it to look at, well, were there any nutrients that caused harm and were there any that were protective? And they did find some in each of those. So if we talk about the harmful ones first, what they found was that for antioxidants and vitamin B3, there was harm. So in the antioxidants, there was no effect on heart disease or stroke, but more people died who were taking them. And the way they quantify this is they have this really cool number called numbers needed to harm. And what that means is it's how many people who were taking this medication compared to those who weren't, or this supplement rather, compared to those who weren't, took it for every person who died. So for antioxidant supplements, for every 250 people in the active intervention arms who were taking an antioxidant, one person died unexplained, totally attributed to taking the antioxidants, and there was no benefit. So what that tells you is if you're at risk of heart disease, so that's basically everybody who's over the age of 40 in Australia, and you're taking antioxidants, stop it. Do not take them. Unless you think a 1 in 250 risk of dying from taking it is okay.
How do the vitamin supplement companies actually get away with marketing their products to have these supposed benefits for our health?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the answer is because supplements aren't held to the same rigor or standards that medications are, because the assumption is, well, they might do a bit of good, they shouldn't do any harm. So this is clear evidence that those guidelines need to be reviewed. medications have got to go through, you know, rigorous and years of trials before they're even allowed onto the market. But there's no such thing when it comes to vitamins or supplements. You can essentially manufacture them, whack a label on, and off you go. So this is a call to action for the regulatory bodies across the world, not just in Australia, to say, hang on a minute, supplements, then you really need to say, hey, this is doing good and that nobody will be harmed. So when we come back to talk about did any of them do any good, I think it's really important to talk about folic acid, because that's the one group where there potentially was some benefit and some protection from heart attacks or stroke. But the studies need careful interpretation, because in those studies, there was one major, major trial that has strongly influenced the results. And can you believe this? But in China, they studied 20,000 people for 5 years. They followed them up. And what that has done is it's contributed to some evidence for protection from stroke and heart attacks for taking folic acid and taking it separately or as part of a B complex. But the recommendation for Western countries like Australia and the USA is, in our country, we have folic acid added to our bread and our breakfast cereals, and so does the US, but they don't in China. They have much lower folic acid intake. So the recommendation for Western countries is, hey, eat more foods that are really rich in folate, and I'll tell you those in a minute, and we need more studies to sort that one out ASAP.
Well, just as a final point there, Claire, getting these vitamins from other places, you mentioned bread just there, what is the best thing we can do to get our sort of needed nutrients?
Yeah, well, folate's really important because it was added to bread-making flour essentially for to protect women and babies from what's called neural tube defects in unborn babies. And that's been in place, and those have gone down since 2012. Just a tiny, tiny amount, a lot less, about a tenth of what you'd find in a supplement. So folate is in fresh food. It's in green leafy vegetables, legumes, seeds, eggs, citrus fruits. And then niacin, which is the vitamin B3, that's in lean meats, milk, eggs, whole grains, berries and cereals, leafy green vegetables again, nuts and any food that contains protein. So the really big message is ditch the vitamins, think about how much money you spend on them, and spend them on the good old-fashioned basic core foods, and then make a time in the week where you cook up some healthy meals so they're there in the fridge for when you get home from work, just, you know, feeling too tired to cook.
Claire, thank you very much. Really do appreciate, some insight into this one. Obviously, a lot of people, as you say, a lot of Australians very concerned about their health. This is clearly a better way to go about it. Really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.